Good evening. Tonight's scripture is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. It can be found on pages 1740 to 1741 in your pew Bibles. Hear these words. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, he also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Jane, for reading that. I appreciate it very much. Now, John loved to talk about love. The author of 1 John loved to write to the churches and tell them about God's love. Number one, to remind them of how great God's love was for them. But number two, to encourage them to love one another, even if they weren't kin, like some of you have come with families, even if they weren't kin, even if they weren't truly family, to love them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And in the Bible, oftentimes, if a point is driven home, it's driven home with repetition. And I counted, and there were 27 mentions of love in this passage. In 15 verses, that's almost two mentions of love per verse. And it would have been even more had it not been for a translation choice in this version of the Bible. Because where it says, dear friends, not once but twice, that could also be translated as loved ones or beloved. And so love is mentioned 27, 28, 29 times in this short little passage. I think you get the point. But all of us have a different understanding of what love really is. God's definition might be different than mine or yours. In the Greek, there was three ideas of love. There was eros, which was romantic love. There was philadelphia, which reminds us of the city of brotherly love. And there was agape, which is the absolute highest form of love, that sort of unconditional love that Jesus had for his church. It was sacrificial. It was selfless. It was unconditional. It was a matter of putting aside your own needs for the good of someone else, or giving up yourself, emptying yourself of everything but your love in order to give someone a blessing. God knew that kind of love, and we don't always know that kind of agape love because it's really so high, it's almost too high for us to reach, but yet God calls us to do the same. And as Jane was reading this, I saw something that maybe I hadn't noticed before, because there's really a lot packed into this scripture. But in it, it says, in this world, we are like Jesus. And for some reason, that stood out to me. In this world, we are like Jesus. Jesus has ascended to be with the Father. So in this world, we are like Jesus to this world, having that same, Lord willing, agape love that Jesus had for his people and for this world. But some of you are probably thinking, Pastor Rick, we came here to hear a Christmas sermon, and I'm scratching my head. What does this have to do with this passage in 1 John chapter 4? What does it have to do with love? And I see three things in this passage that point me to Christmas. And the first thing is the word sent. And the word sent appears not once, not twice, but three times in this short passage. Let's look at those quickly. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And it says he showed us his love. In other words, a person can speak until they're blue in the face about love, but show me. Give me a demonstration. Make it real, make it concrete. And that's what Jesus did by sending his Son into this world. That's what God did, rather, by sending his Son Jesus into the world. He sent him. And it's mentioned again in the very next verse. It's almost like John is saying to the church, church, you need to pay attention to this. So if you missed it the first time, maybe you'll get it the second time. And if you missed it the second time, then maybe, just maybe, you won't strike out on that third pitch, but you'll hit it out of the park. Verse 10 says this, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God the Father, out of great love for the world, sent his Son, Jesus, to atone for the sins of the world. The world was unable to save itself. I can't save myself. I can't do more good than bad. No way. And you can't either. And God recognized the problem, and so he sent his Son to take care of it for us. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what happened at Christmas time, and we have this manger scene right here to remind us that Jesus was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, laid in a feeding trough for animals, humble, lowly, emptied himself of everything but love. Now, on Monday, we had the final of our four-part Advent series, and the series was called The Case for Christmas. And one person at this Bible study was assigned to read Philippians chapter 2. And when she started reading it, she was moving along just fine until she got the end of the reading and started getting a little bit choked up, thinking about how much God loved her to become humble enough to give up his throne at the right hand of the Son of God and come to earth to be born in a stable among the animals, to be born in a manger, to become one of us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Isn't that amazing to think that God walked in our shoes or sandals, as the case may be? God was sent into this world, and he was Jesus. There's more to it than that, of course. Jesus is mentioned here. And when you think about Jesus, why did he come to this world in the first place? If you want to know the answer to that, it's built right into his name, because Jesus literally means the Lord saves. He came to save this world from its sin. And there was another thing that came up in that Bible study on Monday night, the connection between Christmas and Easter. And as you can see on the stage, the manger scene is directly below the cross. And I don't attribute that as an accident, because Christmas and Easter are connected. The manger and the cross are connected. The crucifixion of Jesus and the incarnation of Jesus are connected, because he came in this world to live among us, but he also came to die among us as the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. He came to forgive us. That's how much he loves us. He gave his life for us. He was born in a manger and crucified on a cross. Finally, I want to look at that one statement in verse 7. It says, everyone who loves has been born of God. Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus. And Jesus is not the only one that was born. I expect that each one of us was here, was born at one time. My daughter, I remember her birth quite well back in 2001 in June. And so each one of us was born. But there's a second birth. There's a rebirth when one is born of God, born of the Spirit, when you have faith in Jesus Christ. So we not only celebrate today the love of God that was born in a manger, but the love of God that was born in our hearts. Because all who believe in Jesus have the Spirit of Jesus born in their hearts. You know, John encouraged the church to live like Jesus. John encouraged the church to love like Jesus, to have that same agape love for one another that God had for the world. And he said, well, if you believe it, that's one thing, but you need to show it. You need to demonstrate it. You need to prove your love through your actions. Don't just say you love someone. Show you love someone through your actions. That's why he said, he's given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Now that seems like a high calling, especially with those people that may be difficult for you to love. Someone in your family, someone at work, someone in your church that you don't really get along with that well. But God says to love them anyway. Love people that maybe you feel don't deserve it. And they, in turn, maybe will be inspired to love somebody else, maybe even you. But God doesn't leave you to your own devices in this. He gives you resources, primarily the Spirit. Verse 13 says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us the Spirit. The Spirit empowers you to live for God. The Spirit inspires you to love one another. The Spirit calls you and energizes you to love like Jesus. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we truly love because he first loved us. And in this world, we are like Jesus. And never forget that God is love. He proved it. He demonstrated it. He backed up words with concrete actions, keeping his promises in Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people together say, Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love. And we thank you for this passage in the Bible that's so full of love, you can barely count how many references there are to that agape love that comes from God. Lord, empower us to love one another. Empower us to love like Jesus. And help us, Lord, as we live this life, not to rely on our own strength, but to rely on you. For you have given us Christ at Christmas, and you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. At this time,